Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to be back one more time. We always take just a moment and welcome all of our listeners. Now, usually Noah, my son, is here with us, and he's out today. But he always welcomes everybody, all the listeners here on AM 1450 WATA, and then our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And then also on Saturday mornings on WZAP 690 AM. And we always take a moment and invite you to come out and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. And then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. And then we have other opportunities throughout the week. We've got a lot coming up here in the summer months, it seems like. And well, maybe not just at the church, but with the church, and then preaching a few different revivals and things like that. And so we're looking forward to a busy few months in the Lord's work, and happy about that. But anyway, we'd love for you to come out and visit with us. And those of you that are regular listeners, you know that we have been studying the subject of education. And we've been studying that for, this is part 22, and I can't believe I spent that much time when I started it. I certainly had no idea we'd spend that much time. Of course, it's a big subject, and what we have done, we have literally looked at education down through the centuries. I mean, we've covered 400 years of history here, not quite, because we're not up to the 1900s yet, but we're going to get there today. And there's a lot of things we've not covered and not dealt with, and this is just so very important when it comes to the subject of education and educating our children. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so it's very important that we train up our children. President Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next." Now, you think about how true that is. He said, "The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next." And so we can see that many examples of that all round about us. But we have looked at education down through the centuries. We talked about the arrival of the Pilgrims, and you know, they taught in the home, they taught in the little school setting. For many, many years in America, the one-room schoolhouse was a staple. And some of you might be like me. You grew up watching Little House on the Prairie, and we all know from watching that. Now, that's historically correct, the way that it was. And the church house and the schoolhouse was the same building. And the community revolved around that, and they were not opposed one to another, the school and the church I'm talking about, but they worked hand in hand together for the education and the betterment of their children. We talked about the Pilgrims. We talked about the one-room schoolhouses. We talked about education during the colonial times. We talked about the establishment of the first colleges and universities, which were established by Christian people and by churches. And then we talked about how that we've gotten far away from that. And many of the schools that were established to train ministers of the gospel have no association now whatsoever with those that founded and started those schools. And so we've seen this transformation down through the years from being religious to being secular. And so we've talked a great deal about that. We saw, we talked a lot about foundations in early American education. Psalms chapter 11, verse number 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" and we looked at some of the founding fathers in our country, and I'm sort of going back and giving a review. I'm getting ready, probably the 1st of May, so here in a few weeks we'll wind up this study on education, but we're just sort of going back through and thinking about some of the things that we've already looked at. We looked at some of the founding fathers, Noah Webster. We spent several weeks on him. He is called the father of American education and scholarship. And then we talked about foundations in modern education. We looked at Horace Mann. He is called the father of the common school movement, sometimes called the factory school. You know, they're all based on the same model. That model is the Prussian model. So we had an Americanized educational system. But one of the things that happened in our country, and if we can understand this, we can understand how we went from being one thing to being just about the opposite of that. We went from American model to a European model, and that Prussian school system, the factory schools, making graded classes, separating the grades, separating the ages, kindergarten, that's come from Europe, the truant officer, the compulsory laws in education in the early 1800s. And so we talked a great deal about that. We talked about a man named John Dewey, and you probably heard about John Dewey because of the Dewey Decimal System. He came up with that. But he was one of the original signers of the Humanist Manifesto, and he is called the father of progressive education. Now, progressive education, progressivism, you know, Hillary Clinton said a few years ago, she said, "I'm not a liberal, I'm a progressive." Well, that's been around a long time. And pretty much what progressive is to reject all of the old, all of the traditional, and to accept everything except what is being accepted as normal. It is a reject. And I've got another radio broadcast. It's called the Old Paths Broadcast. And God told Jeremiah, he said, "Thus saith the Lord," or Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." Where's the good way? "And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And pretty much progressivism is a rejection of what some people would talk about the old paths. Reject the family, reject the teaching about God, reject creation, reject morality. And so with John Dewey and the humanist movement, we see the introduction of socialism, the minimalizing of patriotism in our country. We see the introduction of, instead of just education, we see psychiatry experiments being done on our children and in the educational system. We see liberalism, secularism. I talked last week about evolution and how that has definitely affected our society, not for the better, but for the worse. We talked about the beginning of the teachers' colleges in our country. And so a lot of things we've covered. Early education in America was this. It was home-controlled, God-centered, and there was a high rate of literacy. And down through the years, we have moved from that to a state-controlled, meaning the government controls, man-centered. It's not about God. It's about man now. Where the Puritans, for example, they believed and they taught in the schools and in their churches that man was fallen, that in Adam we all fell and we're lost and we need a Savior. The humanist movement teaches, no, we're not lost. That's a fairy tale. We're pretty good. We just need polishing up around the edges. We need to work on our social justice. We need to do away with our ignorances and on and on and on. And so a whole different philosophy of how to even bring a child up. And then we moved from a high rate of literacy to a high rate of illiteracy. And that has been a problem in our country. The quality of education for decades now. And we looked at the 1800s and how pivotal they were. And actually, there was a transformation. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of bad things. And the bad things seem like have overtaken the good things. Now, today, we're going to begin to look more into the 1900s and trying to wind up this study on education. But especially what I want to focus on, because really even in the early 1900s, things didn't change a whole lot. Up until the early 1900s, you didn't have cars, you didn't have electricity, you didn't have travel by anything other than a wagon or a horse or walking. And then, the train come along. But, the train didn't come to our area. The train did not come to Boone until into the 1900s. And so, especially in rural places, things were pretty much the same in the early 1900s as they were in the 1800s, as they were in the 1700s. They're still farming the same. They still had the same type of education, the same type of schools. So things didn't really, really begin to change until the mid-1960s. You get after the Depression. You get into the 40s, the 50s, but especially the 1960s. What I want to focus on today happened in 1962. There was a court case. It was called Engle versus Vitale. It involved school prayer. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was settled, I believe it was June the 25th, 1962. Now, there is an excellent book, and I don't even know if it's still in print. The copy that I have is, it just looks brand new, but somebody gave it to me. In fact, I don't even know where it come from. I found it, or somebody gave it to me, and it was in a box of books. But this is a great little book. I'd never seen it or heard of it before, but it says America to Pray or Not to Pray. And David Barton is the author of it. Some of you may be familiar with David Barton, but he completed this in 1988. So we're looking at 30 years ago now, 29, 30 years ago since he did this work. So I don't know if it's still in print or not, but it's called America to Pray or Not to Pray. And he talks about this court case, this court case that did away with prayer in the public school. Now, the prayer was this. This is very interesting to me. It's sad, but it's interesting. But the prayer in question, and I'm going to read it to you. It's just a little 22-word prayer. And here was the prayer. Here was what went all the way to the Supreme Court. In 1962, the decision came down to remove prayer from the public school. And here's the prayer. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That was it. 1962, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court passed down the decision, no more prayer in the public school. But there's something about that prayer that is very telling about us. And so listen to what they said, or the prayer is humbly asking God's blessing on four different groups. First of all, we. They said, Almighty God, we, now this is the students, praying, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us. And so the first thing they're praying about, they're praying concerning themselves. And then they said, our parents, and our parents is talking about our families. And then they said, our teachers. So we think about the teachers. We think about the school system there. And then they said, and our country, talking about our nation. That little prayer asks for God to bless the students, the parents, the teachers, and the country. And the whole purpose of the book that I was talking about lays out the case from government statistics that ever since 1962, those four groups have suffered terribly. many, many things have changed in our country since the 1960s. Well, we took prayer out of the public school. And we took prayer out of the public school that was praying God to bless the students, the parents or the family, the teachers, and the country. Just for example, think about this. Since 1962, teen pregnancies, that's one example, have skyrocketed. And it's a terrible problem in our country and has been ever since. Of course, it's always been, but since then, and he goes through and he documents all this, one thing has just skyrocketed. Teen pregnancies, one of the most crimes that is committed in schools is rape, and I hate to even say that on the radio, but all of these things, drug use, alcohol abuse, violence, vandalism, stealing, I mean, you name it. All of these things have gone up since the 1960s. They said up on us. Then they said our parents. Well, what's happened to the family in America since the 1960s? First thing that really began to happen in our country was the divorce rate began to climb. Now, I was raised, I was born in 1969, and so I went to school in the 70s and the 80s. When I was in school, growing up, I'm talking about elementary school, I knew nobody in my class that their parents were divorced. By the time I get through high school, it's an epidemic. I mean, it just seemed like it began to happen in mass. And so I can look back in that time period in my own life. And I was living and a young person when it was odd for parents to be divorced. And then by the time I graduated high school, it seemed like everybody was getting divorced. We stop praying for ourselves as students, our parents, our teachers. SAT scores have gone down in our country. We used to be at the top of everything. Now we're not even in the top 10 anymore, academically speaking. We quit praying for our teachers. I've talked to a lot of teachers over the years, and I'll tell you, I feel sorry for them. Some of the older ones especially have told me, you know, we just feel like throwing in the towel. I can't wait to retire. You can't do anything with these children. They won't listen. They won't obey. You can't discipline them. You can't make them mind. What can you do if you can't make them? If you can't have any discipline, you're just doing the best you can, sort of, you know, managing the zoo. I don't know. I pray for our teachers. I feel for them. They're in a tough spot. Our teachers have suffered, and our country has suffered. Violent crime. We're one of the top countries in the world for having our own people in prison. Crimes of all kinds, and on and on and on we could go. And so we think about this. My goodness, I got to move on. But they prayed. They said this prayer. You know, it separation of church and state, and it violated the establishment cause, and all of these things. And so we're reaping the consequences of that even today. In that one Supreme Court decision, the Supreme Court did away with over three centuries of what had before been encouraged and even expected. Schools had promoted prayer. Schools had promoted morality. They had used the Bible as a textbook and stories out of the Bible to teach lessons on morality. We've given all kinds of examples. The New England Primer, America's First Textbook. Well, America's first textbook was actually the Bible, then the New England Primer by the Puritans, then Noah Webster and his Blueback Speller and his catechism on the Constitution, and on and on. And so they use the Bible to get their lessons on morality. Here in the mountains of North Carolina, rural was how the mountains were described and are even described today. But in the early 1900s, churches had revivals, and they would have two services a day. They'd have an 11 o'clock service, and they'd have a night service. And the schools, they would let out school. They would take the children to revival at the local church if the school was separate from the church, and nobody thought anything about it. It was just the way that it was. It was encouraged. It was expected. Children were to be taught morals, and that there's a difference between right and wrong. Benjamin Rush, he is a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was the first founder to call for free public schools. And Benjamin Rush said this, and remember, we spent a lot of time talking about foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 3. So foundations are important. How something was started, why something was started is very important. That's your foundation. And he said this. He said, the only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. He said, without this, there can be no virtue. And without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all republican governments. So he says, if we do away with religion, what we're basically doing away, we're doing away with virtue. And if we do away with virtue, there can be no liberty. Because if we do away with virtue, if we do away with morals, then there's no right and wrong. And so there's no protection. When you do away with right and wrong, there's no protection for the good. And so robbery, bullying, all of these things that we feel like we should be protected from, well, you know, if there's no, we can't say, you know, little Johnny's doing wrong in doing that. You know, he's beat up everybody in the class and stole their lunch money. And, you know, we just can't do anything with him. If we do away with virtue, we do away with liberty. That's the end of it. And so he says this. He says, without religion, I believe learning does much mischief to the morals and principles of mankind. Without religion, I believe learning does much mischief to the morals and principles of mankind. And we've talked before about, are we having education or are we having indoctrination in our schools? Now, certainly we can look around and see that there's examples of this. There's examples of leaving prayer, leaving Bible reading, leaving morality at the doorstep and coming into school. Well, what do you have to work with if you do away with those things? Now, before 1962, the Supreme Court had always upheld Christian virtue, Christian principles, Bible morality. They'd been on the right side. In 1862, there was a court case. It was called Charleston versus Benjamin. And the court ruled on behalf of Christianity and the principles of Christianity. That had been the position of the court up until 1962. That's why we said that in 1962, the Supreme Court did away with over three centuries of what had been accepted. There was no conflict between Christianity, religion, Judaism. You know, if a religion taught morality, and that's basically what they were teaching in the schools, was not particular doctrines, but pretty much the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc., etc. But here's what they said in that court case. This has come down from the Supreme Court. It said, Christianity has reference to the principles of right and wrong. It is the foundation of those morals and manners upon which our society is formed. There we come back to a foundation again. Where do you get the idea of right and wrong? Well, it comes from Christianity. It comes from the Bible. He said it is their basis. Remove this, and they would fall. Talking about morals. If you remove the principles of Christianity, morals are going to fall. He said, or it said, morality has grown upon the basis of Christianity. The day of moral virtue in which we live would, in an instant, if that standard were abolished, lapse into the dark and murky night of pagan immorality. And so the Supreme Court in 1862, the Supreme Court said then that if we'd done away with morality, which come from Christianity and the principles of the Bible, they said that we would in an instant lapse into the dark and murky night of pagan immorality. And I say today in our society, that's just about where we are at. We have lapsed into the murky night of pagan immorality. And anything goes, and nobody's right and nobody's wrong. And we're living in perilous times. That's what the Bible says. Let me give you a example. And I'm not giving this example to attack, but just by way of an example of what I'm talking about. Last week on Instagram, now this is in our local community, at our local campus, and this was on the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Instagram page. That is edited by or put out by the student newspaper. And last week on campus, they had a little, you can only have a 1 minute clip, but they had a clip, and this was right up here on campus, pretty day, right in the middle of the day, sun's out, lots of people are out there, Sanford Mall, they're studying, they're sitting out in the sunshine, minding their own business. Well, they had, and this was hashtagged, a drag show, and or it was titled a drag show. App State Pride, hashtag App State Pride, hashtag Pride 17, hashtag drag show. And this guy was dressed, and there's a little video there. He's dressed like a woman, like a prostitute. And he's out there, and he's dancing around like I don't even know what. I mean, for all the world to see. Now, once upon a time, if the founders of Appalachian saw that, the men that started Appalachian Teachers College to train teachers to go into the schools and teach our children, if they saw that, I believe they would be highly displeased. I sure don't think that's why they founded the college. And then they had another video right after that, and to the students' credit, not all students are for this, and they're not all on the bandwagon. They had another one. It had about eight people, and you couldn't really see, I don't know if these boys or girls or what, but it was hashtagged, it was called Slut Walk, and they were parading around on Sanford Mall and yelling something, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, it didn't make you want to, it was like we have lapsed into the dark and murky night of pagan immorality. That's what I thought about when I read that. And so if our founders could see that, I'll tell you what, I don't believe they would be pleased at all with what goes on sometimes on some of these college campuses. But that is where we are in society. And, or we might say, as the Bible says, Proverbs 30:13, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's where we are in society today. So there's consequences for doing away with prayer, Bible reading, the Ten Commandments in our schools. And we basically have, like it was in the book of Judges, every man does what's right in his own eyes. But when we do what's right in our own eyes, it is certainly not as what is right in God's eyes. Well, we see our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. You can find out more information on our church website, MountLebanonBC.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. Thanks again for listening. God bless.